I just finished a very strong beverage.
Oh my gosh, let's get hyped.
I know.
I'm drinking my second Shiner Bock, and it feels like I'm drinking zero things.
What's a Shiner Bock?
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
It's a small town, small brewery. Every drop of Shiner beer is brewed right in Texas, population 2069, by a handful of local craftsmen who take pride in their little brewery.
Okay, that's too much. That's too much. Bock.
First brewed in 1913. This is a lightly hot beer. Hi, I'm Richard Clark.
And I'm Bethany Perkins.
We can't stop talking about the Enneagram.
So we decided to start a podcast where we get it all out of our system.
We're not experts.
We're just obsessed.
It's No Chill Enneagram.
A safe space for Enneagram fanatics.
And a really dumb idea for a podcast. Hey everybody, welcome to No Chill Enneagram. This is a special bonus episode. We're thinking we would call them like wing episodes maybe, or like subtype episodes. Did we have another clever idea?
I think that was it, and we just laughed about those two ideas.
DL, do you have any ideas for funny names for these little bonus episodes?
No, I told you I'm opposed to Enneagram slang, so.
Because it
excludes other people.
Well, yeah. We'll have to ask our
Enneafam. Yeah. What do you guys think about that?
Oh, lordy. Lord.
Well, we're going to type some reviews before we talk about the real point of the matter, which is Mr. Rogers and what type he is.
Yeah.
We're going to get to the bottom of that soon. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But first, we're going to type some reviews because we just got to get through these one day, guys. Yeah. If you want to like make us do this for the rest of our lives until we die, please
keep reviewing
and review the show on iTunes. We'd love that.
Yeah.
The first one is, just says, great for what it is. It's Jesse Jordan.
Yeah.
If you like semi-autobiographical stories of semi-famous Christians and their Whoa. Enneagram story, then this is an amazing podcast! Exclamation mark.
Oh, personally, wow.
Personally, I prefer the MBTI, but this is a fun little venture down a different
avenue.
Wait
a minute. I'm stuck on semi-famous Christians because...
I'm offended.
This is by far the most passive-aggressive we've gotten.
Okay, but I'm extremely flattered by that. Like, did they include me in that? Because I'm not famous at all.
You are now, Bethany.
Wow. This is amazing. I don't even care that it's passive-aggressive.
Well, what number is this? DL, what do you think? What number is this?
I'm going to say a 5. They're being all aloof and like,
I don't
really like it at all, but it's just like, whatever. And it's secretly like, I love it, but I got to show that
I can't be too like
the other thing. The M whatever thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The next one is called Least Worst Enneagram Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
From P2P. Why is this podcast good? Because they don't take themselves too seriously, but they genuinely love the content they are producing.
We do
love our content.
Yes,
this content right now is excellent, and I love it already.
Yeah.
Makes for great casual listening, which is the perfect niche. Can't wait for... I'm like restraining myself from making fun of this whole interview. I'm sorry, P2P. Can't wait for more hilarity in one. Warmth as a 6th. They've earned some trust from me.
Yes.
And
love that.
We have just turned them into a counterphobic 6, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was very nice.
Yeah.
Apple Z's Sarah. I like these people. That's the title.
I love this review.
Yeah, me too. And that's why I listen to Enneagram podcast. I make weird choices with my life. Also, this is Matt Linder. I used Android and do not have iTunes. That's why posting on my wife's account.
Oh my god.
This is one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
What's his number?
I think a 4. Probably a 4. It seems like a 4 to me. Sure. Last one. From Rebecca Pick. This podcast is the best. I have slightly more chill than the hosts, but it's fun to live in their excitement. especially since no one around me cares about the Enneagram. They live
in
Idaho, probably.
My condolences.
But that's okay. This will be a perfect outlet for my minor obsession. Minor.
Okay, so it's a minor obsession. They have some chill.
Yeah, five.
Yeah.
Or nine. They could be a nine.
A nine, yeah. I feel like everyone who expresses any like chill or any less enthusiasm than us, we're like, it's a five or a
nine. That's true.
It could be anything, but.
I mean, what else are we supposed to go on? We're
I know.
Freaking iTunes reviews, so. Everyone is asking one question around the world as they walk out of movie theaters having just watched a documentary about a former PBS personality. What is this world, by the way, where that is happening? Anyway, the question they're asking is this sentence, will this sentence ever end?
The answer is no.
Bethany, what other question might they be asking?
The question that they're really asking is, what is Mr. Rogers' Enneagram number? Someone please tell me already.
Enneagram.
Yeah.
DL.
Yeah.
We brought you on to talk about this. Why are you qualified?
Yeah.
Well, let's start off with why I'm not qualified.
Okay.
And
that wasn't the question.
Well, I'm an Enneagram 1, and I have Anyone? Some reservations about doing this podcast right now because you guys, maybe we're not supposed to be like typing people who are dead or that we didn't know personally. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's like ethically wrong to type people based off of their comments on Whoa. Your podcast. And maybe we're like making a mockery of something that's sacred and really amazing. And I'm just kidding, but not
I
really.
Wish you could see my face right now.
I just wanted to start off with that, and then let's jump in.
My
Mr. Rogers
on
Mr.
the
Rogers
table.
Is a one. He's a one, guys. That's all I have
okay,
to say.
Okay,
thank you.
But also, as a counterpoint, I just want to read the DM message you sent back to us when you asked us to come on and talk about Mr. Rogers.
Oh no! What did I say?
I'm just kidding. I think you were just like, cool, yeah, let's do it.
No, I'm into it, but I have
definitely
to
definitely didn't communicate your reservations to
I
us.
Have to put out right. my reservations because that's truly like how I go through the world. I'm like,
yeah, disclaimers are important.
Yes. They are important. I feel like we probably need more of them, but
no,
we
I was about
to
I hadn't
use
finished
them.
My sentence. I hadn't
oh,
finished
sorry.
My sentence, which is they're important except that they destroy jokes. Like they just kill
oh.
them.
Oh.
That's okay. so true. So I'm gonna like shove my disclaimers aside from here on out. Just know going forward that this is a foolish endeavor. Okay?
We
I think
have already
it's a
started
good idea.
This by saying it's a dumb idea for a podcast.
Yeah,
the
right.
Point
yeah. It's foolish. We're gonna be wrong. And Mr. Rogers was obviously an Enneagram 1.
Okay. So
okay.
that's incorrect. But
and here starts the debate.
But we'll let you. So can we just get our cards on the table first?
Yeah.
I think he's a four.
Okay.
Bethany, what do you
I'm
think
really,
he is?
I don't, I'm undecided, but I walked out of the movie thinking he was a 9, 1, or 2.
Okay. So me and DL think he is us, and you yeah. think he's maybe you, but maybe,
maybe
one of the other numbers as
uh-huh.
well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it sounds like if we were voting, one would win.
Yeah,
this has
suppose.
Been a really good podcast. Thanks,
the
guys.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's interesting. So this documentary, you know, came out about him, Won't You Be My Neighbor? So he's sort of back in the national consciousness. And there's mm-hmm. all these places writing about him, including like more conservative Christian places and then mainstream places. And I think people have this idea in their head of Mr. Rogers, like, you know, very nice guy with a sweater, being really nice to little kids. And then the documentary sort of opens you up to like, oh my gosh, this guy was extremely driven. Like no matter mm-hmm. what mm, you want to yeah. say about him, he was extremely driven. Right. And I don't know how you want to say it, if you want to say he was an odd bird, but I just read this biography of him that's coming out in the fall. And I was like, he is the most unique, singular person I think I've read about in a really, really long time. So he's super different, and yeah. he wasn't just a gentle soul. It was so much more than that and so thought out, and I think that's why people are now thinking, oh my gosh, this is not the Mr. Rogers we thought we knew. This is just one aspect of him was that TV show, and there was so much more behind that. which totally. Makes him a fascinating person to look into. I think the Enneagram, some website said he was a 9, right? That's what everybody has been telling me.
Yeah. I haven't heard that.
I feel like I have heard that. And I feel like that's the obvious choice when you're literally just watching his TV show.
For like toddlers, yeah.
Right. He looks like a 9. He's slow. Totally, yeah, he's quiet. He's relaxed and peaceful. Like, I just feel like I'm watching a 9 when I watch him. But that's kind of where the 9-ness ends for me, I guess.
Yeah. So what did you think watching the documentary? Were you surprised by any parts of it?
I didn't know, like, because he was so extremely motivated by, like, making good content for children. Like, he just, it was a justice issue for him of everything
That
these kids are watching is garbage and it's teaching them bad messages and we need to teach them morals and we need to help them understand their feelings. And it was like, there was this whole justice drive behind it, which was like, kids deserve better than what they're getting. And so I have to make it.
Yeah. Can I just say, like, DL, have you thought about it at all? Like how his stress and growth numbers like play out in his life?
Yeah. I mean, I did think, okay, maybe he is a 4 because he loneliness was a huge issue for him in his childhood. He was the only child.
Yeah.
He was like the son of the wealthiest family in sort of a working class town. Like his family like owned the mill that everybody worked at, and so he was bullied. He was called Fat Freddy as a kid, and like that's where a lot of his stuff, where he would start to play with puppets, and like Daniel Tiger was literally like himself as a child. And it was super weird. Like, it's hard not to feel weird when you see him when he's like in his 60s, and when he has his Daniel Tiger puppet, he's talking in this voice and he becomes like
it's him,
little Fred. So I'm like, okay. And he was so obsessed with emotions. And so.
Yes.
And having kids talk about emotions.
That's why I thought 2, maybe. But I could see 4 as well now.
He was really comfortable with dark emotions in particular.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I will never forget sitting Atticus down in front of Mr. Rogers a few weeks ago and just being like, he should watch Mr. Rogers. It's an awesome show. And all of a sudden, there's a show about divorce.
Yeah.
A whole theme week on divorce. Mm-hmm. And he walks kids through like why divorce happens and what it is, and like it is a dark episode. It's intense. Like you got to pay attention in that episode. And I just thought like he has some comfort with the dark things that happen. One of the reasons I asked about the stress and growth numbers Danielle was because I noticed this thing that happened in the movie where it sort of takes a turn where he's on top of the world and everyone loves him and wants to know what he thinks, and he 100% goes to 1. Like he and I feel this in myself, like when I feel a lot of appreciation and sometimes I might even say pride in what I'm doing or in myself, I will go to 1, like, I am going to save the world now. I know what the world needs. I have, like, all of the answers, and everyone should listen to me. And Mr. Rogers, like, he didn't do that in a super unhealthy way, obviously. Mm-hmm. But he definitely leaned into that thing.
Didn't they say at one point in the movie, like, he was the king?
Right. That's exactly. Yeah. He becomes literally a dictator.
Like,
is that what you think a 1 is?
Well.
So we could totally, you know, type his puppets, which would be interesting. But I do think.
Oh, man.
I do. But they all were parts of himself. So, okay, here's what I would say. So I'm someone who thought they were a 4 for a long time, and now I 100% think I'm a 1. Mm-hmm. And so I think he is somewhere in between both of them, and I don't know which
you can't do that, Dan.
But I don't know if he's 1 number and acting in health or unhealth in the direction of the other. Does that make sense? So I wanted to tell 2 stories really quick, and 1 is in the documentary and 1 is from this book about him. But I also don't want to spoil things for listeners, so I don't know if I should do this.
They've seen it by now.
Sure.
Hopefully
they
have.
It's a documentary, so.
Yeah, okay, but I was just thinking through those.
What's that mean?
I mean, it's about things that have already happened.
Okay. But there are, I mean, I don't know if it'll spoil, but okay. So the two stories I wanted to bring to the table to make my case so I can win this argument is thinking through those core motivations. In the documentary, it talks about when he was dying. So when he was in his 70s and he got stomach cancer, when he was dying, he was really into reading Matthew 25 to himself in the story of the sheep and the goats and Jesus separating the sheep and the goats. You know what? The goats mm-hmm. go to hell and the sheep go to heaven. And he would ask his wife, like, am I a sheep? You know, am I a sheep? Yeah. Like, have I done enough? Have I taken care of enough people? And his wife was just like, Fred, if anyone's a sheep, you're a sheep. You know, you've done so mm-hmm. much good. And that really broke my heart to think this guy who pioneered so many amazing things all about the social emotional intelligence of children, basically pioneered that form for television. Like, he still wondered if he had done enough. And there's certain points in his life where he really points, like he would write a letter to himself or he would have these huge doubts and these depressions thinking like, have I done enough? So to me, mm-hmm. that really goes to that core need to be good, right? Is his number one need and desire. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about is he definitely got angry about things, specifically advertising to children. He actually like hated he hated TV, which is so interesting. Like one of the only shows he watched later on in life was Dr. Quinn. Do you guys know that show?
Medicine Woman?
Yes. I thought that was so hilarious. My gosh. He actually like went on the show. He was a character on the show. He loved it so much.
That is hilarious.
So that was like one of the few shows he watched. He hated TV, hated advertising to kids. He would get livid about it, super angry. Mm-hmm. And then so the Hallmark store one year wanted him to like decorate their flagship store in downtown New York for Christmas. Like, you can do anything you want in our big window display. And people were like, well, Fred Rogers is not going to do that because he doesn't like advertising to children. But he said he would, but he had to have complete creative control. Like, he was very intent on having control over everything he did. They're like, okay. And so this is what he chose to do in this big store. He just took this like little fir tree that was like the same level of height a 3 or 4 year old kid would be. Mm-hmm. And then he put it in this like clear glass box so you could see its roots. And then he just put that in the window and then put a little plaque on it that said, I like you just the way you are. And that's it.
Aww.
Nothing else. Like, nothing electronic, nothing flashing, not selling any toys, anything to these kids. And I was like, that is so intense. Like, that was his ethics. That was his ethics taken to the extreme. And him trying to prove a point about advertising to children. And, like, he wasn't for it. And he just wanted to get his message across. So I was like, oh, my gosh. To me, that seemed like a one thing to do.
Oh, man.
That's
hard. Pretty convincing. But also, those feel like really, well, the first anecdote to me feels like interpreted, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like a dying person on a, asking, am I a sheep? I don't know. That could mean a lot of different things.
Like, did I do enough to get into heaven? I mean, I think a lot of people probably ask that, and it's tragic to me and, you know, in whatever regard. But it really stuck out to me. Just, am I a sheep? Did
does,
I do enough?
It does seem like the thing that you would ask at the end of your life would point to what you were most concerned about in life.
In life, like what you're about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wonder, I guess what I'm getting at is, was he worried about, did he do enough good things, or was he to get into heaven, or was he worried about his legacy?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, okay, here's the deal. If he was worried about his legacy, he would have sold out a lot more than he did. Like,
really?
One of the reasons why, so Sesame Street, you know, is also like a public broadcasting thing, but they licensed all their characters. They allowed, you know, like Big Bird's and Elmo's to be sold to children. And Fred Rogers said, I will never license this stuff. I don't want to make money. He was like super weird about money because he grew up rich.
Interesting.
And so like the guy who wrote his biography was sort of like, because of his intense ethics around money and advertising, like Mr. Rogers never got as big as Sesame Street. And
oh, actually that convinces me a little bit of the one thing.
I know. Yeah. Again, so like his ethics got in the way of getting his message out to the most kids possible.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Which he would have wanted, but he was like, I'm not going to license this stuff.
There's also just the fact that he's still somewhat mysterious, right? Like,
yeah.
If Mr. Rogers was a four, would he be mysterious? I don't think so. He would have told us all the stuff, right? Like, he would have had so many interviews where he, like, went on and on about all these things.
Or else he's, like, the healthiest four in the world.
Right.
Yeah. Could be. Yeah, I just wonder.
Yeah,
I wonder like where all of the feeling stuff plays into it if he is a one, because he was so focused on feelings and emotions and helping other people deal with their feelings and emotions, and like you said, Richard being so comfortable with the dark emotions.
But
things.
I have a theory on that. Okay, get ready, guys.
Oh, I'm ready.
He knew that when you get most, for him, in his experience, when you get stressed out, what do? You go to four and you start feeling things.
Okay.
Right? And so it wasn't like on his show, he's like being a four,
right,
talking about feelings.
Yeah.
It's that he had internalized that so much. And he had experienced it so much that he then started to like put that into a grid for him where like, yes, when you get stressed out, you feel feelings, and that's the thing you feel. And it's almost like you can see the stress being modeled on the show. And you can see going to growth being modeled on the show. Because when you see Mr. Rogers, like, talking to kids, like, you're having a hard time, aren't you? What is he talking about? He's talking about feelings. He's talking about big feelings. He's talking about, like, you feel two feelings at once. All of those things. Now I'm just quoting Daniel Tiger, hoping that Mr. Rogers probably talked about these things.
Okay.
But, and then when he's, like, trying, he's having the happy moments in the show, it's always, like, weird experiences and meeting new people and trying new things. That's seven stuff.
Okay, well, okay. I do want to say about the feelings thing. I don't think he was obsessed with feelings because he was obsessed with feelings in of themselves. Although I do think he was a highly sensitive person, for sure. And he never let go of this close connection to the feelings and specifically anxieties of childhood for many people.
Yeah.
But what he did was he was a part of this groundbreaking cohort in the 1950s when all these psychologists were just starting to think child psychology. And he was in this like cohort with like people who changed psychology like as we know it, like Eric Erickson and actually Dr. Spock, and Margaret McFarland was this amazing woman who kind of taught Fred Rogers everything he knew. And she was obsessed with this sentence that said, whatever is mentionable is manageable. And so this idea that you have to speak these feelings into existence if we're going to actually deal with them. And they were really trying to combat, you know, this Victorian era idea that children need to be seen and not heard. And so like Fred Rogers was on this absolute mission to help parents and children learn to talk about feelings in order to deal with them.
Yeah.
In order to have safe, thriving neighborhoods.
That makes sense.
And so not just to like wallow in feelings, but to actually do good in the world and to make the world a better place.
So it sounds like we're coming to a consensus at one.
No, I'm sorry. I'm convinced. Just, I'm bullying you guys into this.
Why are you
no,
sorry?
You're definitely not.
You
no,
set
I'm
out to
convinced.
Win the argument.
But also,
and you've done it.
Also, maybe he's like Jesus and he has no number. I don't know.
Literally, one of my friends said that to me when we were talking about it. She was like, maybe he's just so Christ-like that he's just like all of the numbers.
He's so different.
I mean, let's put it this way. His number may be less perceptible to others because of his particular health. But I would say like let's just talk about the numbers we haven't talked about because I just want to make sure we've covered all our bases. Is there any chance that we know he's not a nine or a two because we kind of talked about those a little bit.
Although he could be a very healthy nine. Because he is so like spirituality,
a very healthy, driven, three space nine.
Yeah, like his spirituality was super important to him, which people always say the nine is really spiritual. So I don't know.
I guess I don't know. I mean, All right, but he's not a three, right? No chance he's a three.
He was very driven, but he
was driven, but to
by ethics more than like success. So
threes will like cut corners just to succeed, and he seemed like he kind of stifled his own success.
Not a five.
No, not a five.
I'm gonna go no on that.
No.
Okay.
Not a six.
Mm.
Right. It's kind of tough.
It is kind of tough.
But I don't see, I don't think.
No. I mean, he was so outside of institutions and so.
Yes. Yeah, that's the one. He
wasn't
like
really,
really
he wasn't really loyal. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Not a seven. Right?
I don't.
Or was he?
I don't think so. Although he was.
No,
he
just
could
his
be funny,
energy level alone doesn't.
Yeah.
It can't be a seven.
Good point. Very stable.
Yeah.
Sorry, sevens. definitely not an eight.
No.
There's no way Ms. Rogers is a
I mean, I don't know.
Come
I mean,
on,
I know eights
I
get a bad rap, but
eight looks like that, though, and acts like that.
That's true.
For the record, you just said eights get a bad rap. You gave them a bad rap. Dang.
You literally put them last.
Did I?
Yeah. You did.
No. But Mr. Rogers was like I said, he had to have control over like every element of his stuff.
Yeah.
And the people who worked with him like loved him, but they were like, it was Fred's way or the highway in a really gentle way. But they were like,
yeah,
that's pretty eight quality.
I don't know.
I think eight is more proactive than that. Like eight is more like I'm doing a thing and you can get on board of this moving train or not.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, he was a little like that because I mean,
but what you describe sounds more like a one, like
this is the right way and we will do
yeah,
it this
that's
way.
Kind of, and that's what I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We solved it. We did
it. We solved it.
Danielle, before we go, I do want to talk about your Enneagram ranking that you did in episode one, which if anyone has not listened, should check it out. It's really important.
I can't
if you
believe
find
you
out,
came back to do more.
I know. I know.
If you want to find out where you stand, listen to that episode. But Danielle,
or
what's
check
been
out
the
our
feedback?
Instagram. Sorry.
We got some feedback to that. We got a couple people saying we're jerks.
Well, yeah. I felt a little embarrassed because it was just a silly thing. And then when people did contact me to be like, I can't believe you're ranking human beings, you know, and I was like, oh, yeah, that is kind of bad.
Not humans, just their
I
personalities.
I said it was stupid. But yeah, they're like, what other context would you ever rank people from best to worst? And I was like, have you ever lived? Like, I just do that. I don't But you shouldn't do it publicly. And now I repent of that. I will say,
are you serious? Are you being serious right now?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like a silly exercise. Except
it is silly.
I mean, it was for me, and so somebody pointed out right on this podcast, and then somebody actually contacted me privately to be like, did you know the people you listed, the last three, you know, are the like the aggressive ones, and they're the ones mm-hmm. that would give me as a one the most feedback.
Oh.
Right.
So I was like,
awesome.
Nobody take it personally. That was just old DL working out that she doesn't like it when people confront her. So I think that's what the list was about. Non-confrontational to most confrontational numbers.
Yeah.
So that was like
kinda,
sad.
Yeah.
It was kind of sad for me to realize. So that's what that list was about. Nothing else.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Everybody should make their own list and you'll discover some truth about yourself.
I have my own list now.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Don't
that's
share
good.
It publicly and then people will shame you about it. But, you know, just do it privately and
I think
you'll
I'm
learn
starting to
something.
Think we should do it on every show now.
We should make everyone do it.
Yeah.
It's only fair.
That's true. And fair is fair.
Yeah.
So
every show should just have an objective ranking.
Yeah.
Of the Enneagram numbers.
Yeah.
That is fascinating. I just want to say there's got to be room for jokes. Like the answer
right?
to the question of when would you ever rank people is when you don't mean it seriously. That's
yeah,
the,
that's true.
That's
when it's 100% a joke.
Like, look, I'll rank the people on this podcast right now. DL, then Bethany, then me. Done.
Good job.
Now I feel sad.
Sorry, Bethany.
What I got middle? You put.
What I got middle?
Yeah, I got middle. That's fine. I'm fine with that.
Oh my gosh!
Anyway, you didn't do anything wrong, so.
So we're not taking it too seriously. The Enneagram is a wonderful, like, wise, ancient tool for spirituality and self-discovery. And it's also a silly, awesome podcast. And you guys love what you're doing. And it shines through.
It's fun to do crazy things with it.
Here's a question I'm going to ask the first. Like, so, Danielle, we've been having a brief, like, agonizing sort of, like, discussion about whether we're over the discussion now. It's over now. But we've been talking for a while about whether to have like an Enneagram expert on the show, whether that would like destroy the show.
Oh,
or not.
would that be funny?
Would it work or not?
Well, we are going to.
Oh, no!
We're going to. Yeah.
That's gonna be a snooze fest, but good job.
But definitely the first question I'm going to ask is, why does it make me laugh every time someone calls the Enneagram ancient?
An ancient. You know, I picked up an Enneagram book this past weekend that was written in the 80s,
which is ancient
for me. Yeah, and it's awesome. It's like way better than the ones I've read that have come out recently.
Oh,
and so,
sorry, Suzanne.
I mean, Suzanne Stabile, you're amazing, but you didn't type the Enneagram 1 very well, so.
You're no person in the 80s.
Wait, do you just like it better because it you liked the way it talked about your number?
That is true, but also it goes straight to the heart of why we are interested in the Enneagram, and it actually just straight off the bat is like, here's the deal. Whatever your number is, like, that is you trying to deal with, like, your sin, basically. And you are not that number. And in order to be whole, you cannot focus on being that number. That is just one part. You have to synthesize all the other. And I was like, oh, my gosh, here I am obsessing. Like, I'm a one. And then it just really shifted my perspective. Like, oh, my gosh, me being a one is me trying to deal with my S-H-I-T. And I really need to start thinking through how can I stop operating the world so much in this way. So it was awesome.
It's all about being a growther, I think.
Yeah. A growther? Don't say that. It's like you're starting your own YA novel, and that's one of the factions. I don't like that. But somebody needs to YA novel using the Enneagram. So
will you tell us what this book is called and who it's by?
Yeah, it's funny. It's called,
people are going to ask.
It's called The Enneagram.
Oh,
nice.
Man. Check it out, guys.
A journey of self-discovery, and it's by a bunch of Catholics. And
it's Jesuits, right? It's Jesuit.
Well,
people.
I don't know, because you know these. I don't know these little titles because I'm an evangelical. So, I think the last one definitely is. But anyways, it's a great book. It was written in the year I was born, which means something to me.
I was listening to an Enneagram expert named Chris Hortz, who
he's cool.
I assume he has a sense of humor and would be great on this podcast.
I assume so too.
Is
that who's coming on?
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe
you should get him.
Okay. Anyway, so he was talking about how the Jesuits were the one who like brought it back in the 80s and wrote a bunch of stuff about it and stuff.
Yeah, that's probably them then. It's really good.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, this has been fun, guys. Thanks. Mm-hmm. This has been a good mini-sode.
And it was really important that we did this, so.
Yeah.
Important.
I
feel better. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
And if people are interested, I did write a review of this biography called The Good Neighbor by Maxwell King, and it's coming out in Christianity Today this fall. So you can read my review
there. Is that
there.
In the print issue?
Yeah. It got bumped up to print, y'all, so you should get that. And also, did you know that in 2010, Fox and Friends called Mr. Rogers an evil man?
Of course
I did see that. Yeah,
did.
That was in the documentary, right?
I don't know if that was in there.
I think
but
it was.
It was sad.
Yeah, it was that part where they were like, oh, Mr. Rogers ruined kids because he told them they're special.
Yeah,
what
he told
an
them
idiot.
They're special. Yeah.
And it ruined a generation.
But to call him an evil man, oh my gosh.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
Let's end on that
All
note.
Right.
This has been No Chill Enneagram. It is hosted and produced by Richard Clark and Bethany Perkins. Edited by Richard Clark. Theme music is Max Flashback by Lee Rosevere. We want to hear from you. If you're an Enneagram number 9, 4, 2, or 7, feel free to leave a review on iTunes. If you are a 6, please only do this if you trust us. If you are an 8 or a 1, please do not leave us a review on iTunes. But you can feel free to reach out to us on Twitter, where we'd love to be challenged by you or hear from your overflowing inner critic. Our Twitter handle is @NoChillEnneapod. That's @NoChillEnneapod. Enneagram number 5, please include us in your next exhaustive list of hilarious podcasts. And 3s, you can just give us credit after we inspire you to do whatever amazing thing you're going to do next. If you are a number 1 through 9 and you haven't already, subscribe to this podcast wherever podcasts are subscribable.